Let's open our Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We got word today that the first radio broadcast will be aired on not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. What will that be, the 10th? So starting on the 10th of February, all across the world. That's unreal, isn't it? But all across the world, we will be on the radio at 8:15 on Sunday morning, a full 30-minute sermon, or thereabouts. Keep on. He's up here saying little one-liners. Hard to find a 30-minute sermon. Are you done? I don't have any 30-minute sermons. That's the reason why it's hard to find them. But anyway, thank the Lord for that opportunity. What a blessing. We have been praying and trying for years. And I know that poor Brother Eborn got tired of running into me across the country, because every time he did, I would ask him for a spot on the radio. And, "Brother, we just don't have anything. We just don't have, you'll be the first one I call, I promise." And so they had a program that fizzled out. And so they shuffled some things around and gave us prime spot. My goodness, it's just amazing. So thank the Lord for that. And thank the Lord for opening that door for us. Pray for those ministries. I really mean that. As you pray for those ministries, that the Lord will use them. Dr. Smith put a sermon that I preached at the National Sword Conference a couple years ago in the sword this issue, and I know 15 text messages today from preachers all across the country, and you know, smart remarks and comments, you know, and I knew him when and all that kind of stuff, you know. And but then several emails came in today where folks had read the sermon and stuff. So just continue to pray for all these outreaches that the Lord has opened for us. All right. Look, please, at the 13th chapter, and let's read just a few verses here tonight. Last week we looked at when I was a child, I understood as a child, spake as a child, understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And we have looked at this matter of spiritual gifts. And then last Sunday night, I preached the message that I was going to give you tonight. But I just couldn't hold it. I felt that I needed to give it while it was still fresh. And I spoke to you on the subject of charity. He said the greatest in verse 13 of that 13th chapter. He said the greatest of these is charity. And I made mention of the fact that one of the dangers of paraphrasing the Bible, one of the dangers of translating the Bible and coming out with a different version is the liberty that is taken with the text. And one of the liberties that has been taken is with this word charity. Now, this word charity is a wonderful, wonderful word. We use it today. We talk about charitable gifts. We talk about giving to charity, and so you know, it is a word that we use today, and we use it quite regularly. Somebody came along about 100 years ago and started playing with the Bible and paraphrasing verses and changing things, and they took the word charity out and they put the word love in. And charity is connected to love, but it is not love. charity is, and I had you do something Wednesday night. I hope that if you haven't done this, you just take a minute, take a pen, take your bulletin or whatever, take, you know, the back of your husband's arm, whatever is handy, and write capital C, capital H, capital A, capital R. And in small letters, I-T-Y, charity, but emphasize the C-H-A-R, I-T-Y. Then underneath that, write capital C, capital H, capital A, capital R, and then write actor. And you'll, charity literally means, I mean, it comes from the word character. And it literally means the character of love. It is the manifestation of love. It's how love evidences itself. And Paul said in verse 13 that the greatest of these attributes that he said that abide, there's faith, there's hope, and there's charity. And the greatest of these is charity. Back in chapter 12, verse 31, he said, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." What is that more excellent way? What is better than spiritual gifts? What is better than having faith and having the spiritual gift of knowledge and the spiritual gift of discerning of spirits and the spiritual gift of administration? What's better than all that? Having the attributes of character as manifested as they flow out of love. That is better than any spiritual gift you might have. And so charity never fails. Now look, please, if you will, at verse 1, and we'll read just a few verses here, and then I want to share a couple of thoughts with you tonight. He said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal." Now, you know, in my lifetime, I've heard some great preachers. His grandfather was one of the greatest preachers you'd ever want to hear. I heard Dr. Curtis Hudson preach many, many times. Got to preach with him several times. Tremendous man of God. I've heard some great preachers. Paul said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men." I mean, you think of the greatest preachers you've ever heard in your life. And Paul said, "If I could speak like one of them, or if I had the tongue of an angel, if I could speak like an angel," could you imagine Gabriel walking in here tonight and saying, "Open your Bibles"? Paul said, "If I could preach like that, but I did not have charity," he said, "I've become as a sounding brass and tingling cymbal." In other words, you're just making noise. You heard about that old boy in the orchestra, and the guy was up there directing, and that old guy was just hitting one note on the trumpet, just playing the one note. And he'd stop. He said, "All right, let's do it again." They started over. The guy just hit one note. Finally stopped, and he looked down at the orchestra leader, looked down at him and said, "Sir," he said, "I don't know what all these other folks are looking for." He said, "I guess they're all looking for the right note, but I found it." No, that's just sounding brass. It's just noise, and it's not music. And so he said, that's how important it is to have charity. All right, go to verse 2. He said, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." And I want us to end right there, and let's pray, and then we'll continue on. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and I pray your blessings upon it tonight. Lord, give me, I pray, the ability to communicate the things that I've studied, the things that are on my heart. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be the teacher tonight. And Lord, help us to see the importance of doing the things that we do in the spirit of charity, having the right heart, the character behind the action. And Lord, would you just bless and help us now tonight? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've been looking at spiritual gifts from the 12th chapter. We started a few weeks ago and from the 12th chapter. And then we looked last couple of weeks on the 13th chapter. And in this book of 1 Corinthians, and I really did not take the time when we started to go back and give you a little overview of the book. But basically what you have in 1 Corinthians is the Apostle Paul dealing with a church that asked him several questions about different things that can come up in the church. Paul basically starts at the very beginning of this book, and he is dealing here with all the various types and kinds of problems that can arise in a church. And it's amazing the messes that we can make even in the church, even in the house of God. And the amazing thing here is that this was one of the early books. This is one of Paul's earlier books. It's not the earliest, but it's one of the earlier books that he wrote. And so this church is not very old. I mean, it's not very old at all. But yet in just a short period of time, you read the book and you'll see that, man, they had more problems and more division and more heartache and more trouble in this church than you would think would be possible. And having all these problems, the problems were causing major divisions. And the people were dividing up, and the cliques were formed, and it was just a mess. And so with each succeeding chapter, Paul takes time to deal with each of the problems one by one and gives to them instruction and direction on how to put things back on track. Now, one of the major problems was in the area of spiritual gifts. And the members of the church were abusing their Holy Spirit given gifts. They were abusing the gifts that the Lord, that the Holy Spirit had given to them. And they were puffed up and they were filled with pride. You had one group claiming to, that he had a gift that somebody else didn't have, and therefore he was more spiritual than this other person. And it became a sort of a spiritual competition to see who had the greater gifts, who had the better gifts. And the point that I made to you when we began this was that the gifts are the tools that we use to get the job done. They're the tools that we use to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gifts are not given for our benefit. The gifts are given so that we can win people to Christ with them. They're not given to edify us or to simply make us look good. They are what God's Holy Spirit gives to us to help us to reach lost souls for the Savior. So in the midst of all this correction that Paul is giving in this epistle, we come now all of a sudden to the 13th chapter. And to a chapter that many, as I read what others had to say about this chapter this week, what many think are the greatest words that ever came from the Apostle Paul's pen. I read that over and over from great commentators of the past. So this chapter then becomes an oasis in a desert of problems. It becomes sort of a breath of fresh air as you're reading through all the stagnant air that is created when there are problems in the church. G. Campbell Morgan said of this chapter, he said, and I thought this was cute, he said, studying it is somewhat like taking apart a flower. Part of its beauty is lost when the components are separated. That's from perhaps the greatest expositor that has lived, G. Campbell Morgan. Now, last Sunday night, I had us take a look at the word charity, and I gave you its meaning. Folks, what a wonderful word this is. Charity is the character of love. It is the character of love. Charity is the mechanics of how to make love visible. It is the mechanics of how to make love visible. Paul's point is that the Corinthians were trying to be visible by flaunting their spiritual gifts. They were trying to be visible by their own selfishness and by self-promotion and by ego-driven behavior. And his point is there's no place for that in the house of God. Amen. What we ought to be doing is letting our character, letting the mechanics of love be visible in our lives. Now, again, go back to verse 31 of chapter 12. After Paul deals with the matter of the gifts and discusses them, he basically says to them, folks, listen, gifts are good, but here is a better way. Charity, which is the character of love, which is the mechanics of how to make love visible, charity is a better way. So what if you have the gift of prophecy and can know all mysteries and you have so much faith that you can move mountains with it, and even if you're called upon to die a martyr's death, listen, if you don't have the characteristics and the character of love evident in your life, the display of your gift is nothing more than sounding brass and tingling cymbal. It's just noise, and it's not music. A more excellent way than trying to operate spiritual gifts in your own power, in your own flesh, rather than in the Spirit, is to have the character of love, Bible charity. And folks, that is so needed in our lives. And the point is, you can get a whole lot more done with character than you could ever accomplish with the gift of prophecy or the gift of tongues or the gift of knowledge or the gift of faith or of any other gift. For having character, charity is a better way. Now, in verses 1-3, Paul focuses upon the emptiness produced when we live the Christian life without charity. And then in verses 4-7, in the first part of verse 8, really, we see one of the most comprehensive biblical descriptions of the fullness of all that is enveloped in true Bible charity. Paul shines the true Bible love principle through a prism, and he shows us all of its colors and hues. The whole spectrum of what love is clearly seen in the description that Paul gives here and as he describes love's characteristics. Each ray gives a facet, gives a property, gives a characteristic of what love produces in us. The character of love. Now let's look at two of them tonight. We'll begin in verse 4, and we'll take the first two here where he said, charity suffereth long and is kind. Let's look at the first one here, and notice with me that Paul is talking here about the greatest attribute, the greatest character, the greatest characteristic that you and I can have, which is a Bible love, Bible charity. And the first thing he says about it is found in this fourth verse. He said, charity suffereth long. Paul says that one of the characteristics of charity is that it is long suffering. Now, you say, well, Pastor, how do you apply these? All right, listen, you want to be a better Christian? You want to be a better church member? You want to be a better husband? You want to be a better wife? You want to be a better mother? You want to be a better father? You want to be a better friend to your friends? How can you be what God would have you be? Well, why don't you put these characteristics in your life? The characteristics of charity in your life. Let them flow out of your life. And one of the first characteristics that we find, Paul said that charity is long-suffering. It suffereth long. You know, folks, there is very little long-suffering that goes on today. You know that to be true. You don't think that's true? Pull out on 140 when somebody's coming over the hill up here doing 110 miles an hour. You'll just find out how long-suffering people in Westminster are. I'm telling you, folks, this is an attribute that has just gone out the door. Charity, Paul said, suffereth long. Oh, how this is lacking in our world today. Now, what is this? Well, this is just the ability to be patient. Long-suffering, the ability to be patient. Charity's patience, the ability to be long-suffering, is the ability to be inconvenienced. It is or taken advantage of by a person over and over again and yet not be upset and injured by it. You know, we're not this way. Hey, I'm talking about Christians aren't this way. You know, what has happened to our society that we have lost these attributes? Well, I'll tell you what's happened to us. We don't read the Bible anymore. You see, we watch Oprah and we watch primetime television and we let them tell us how we're supposed to behave. And in this rights-oriented society that we live in, it has been programmed into our minds and into our hearts and into our heads that, hey, you deserve your rights. And we aren't patient with anything or anybody. One of the greatest early church leaders, a fellow by the name of Chrysostom, said concerning this matter of being long-suffering, he said it is a word that is used of a man who is wronged and who has it easily in his power to avenge himself, but will never do it. That sound like anybody we know? Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Listen, Christian, you are going to be wronged as you go through life. And you know, I hate to tell you this, but it's so true. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are going to be the ones that are wrong you the most. They're the ones you're around the most. I get so tired of people saying, well, if that's the way a Christian's going to behave, hey, listen, don't base how Christians are supposed to behave upon Christians. Base how Christians are supposed to behave upon Jesus. And you'll never have Jesus do you wrong. Oh, we will. But Jesus won't. But you're going to be wrong. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be offended. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be wronged. You're going to be let down. You're going to be mistreated. I mean, these are things that are just going to happen to you along life's way. The devil's going to see to it. But Paul says, hey, wait a minute. Here's a better way than the way you've been dealing with this stuff. Here's a better way. And a better way is for you to have charity in your life, and instead of seeking retaliation, or instead of getting mad, or instead of getting angry, or instead of living your life full of bitterness, the character of love, charity, is a better way. So instead of being short-fused and short-tempered, exercise patience and suffer long. Suffer long. You see, folks, charity does not seek to pay back evil for evil. Go back to the book of Romans chapter 12 for just a second. Just go back one book to the book of Romans chapter 12. And let me read to you what Paul said to the church at Rome here. See, evidently this was a problem not just in Corinth, but in Rome and in Westminster. Verse 17, chapter 12, he said, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible. You see, there's some birds you just can't get along with. I mean, that's all there is to it. But if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Watch this now, dearly beloved. Avenge not yourselves. Wow. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the what? Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, you know what that phrase, heap coals of fire, means? You know, back in Bible times, they didn't have forced air furnaces and oil burning boilers and all. They didn't have all that stuff. So if you were going to cook, or you were going to heat your room, your house, you had to build a fire to do it. Now let's suppose that something happens and you let your fire go out. All right, let's say you're gone for a few days. You come back and you have no coals in which to start a fire. Now, you couldn't go over and get one of those little Bic lighters and, you know, didn't have those. You couldn't go get kitchen match and, you know, didn't have those. So what you would do is you would take a censer, you would take a bucket, and you would go to a neighbor and you would get some live hot coals from him and you would bring them back. And that's the idea. Many, and still over there in that region of the world, you see folks carrying stuff on their head all the time. I mean, it's all the time. Especially the Arab people, they carry stuff on their head. You see the women, great big old burlap sack full of stuff, and you wonder how in the world does that not keep from just driving her right down into the ground. How do they balance that? Well, they do. It's a miracle that how they do it, but that's how they do it. And that's what that means. Your neighbor comes, he has been your enemy. He has badmouthed you. He has talked about you. He has gossiped about you. But he needs fire. His children are hungry. His house is cold. So he comes over, knocks on your door, and Paul said, listen, give him something. And in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire upon his head. You'll be taking care of a need for him. It will speak to his heart. It will be a blessing to him. All right. So what important verses are these? Hey, folks, listen, somebody hurts us. Somebody does us a wrong deed. Somebody verbally attacks us. Somebody says something about us. And what's it do to us? Well, it builds a rage within us. And we have this desire to want to get even. We plot, we scheme, we plan. We just live for the moment when we can get back at them. And Paul said, hey, listen, don't live like that. There's a better way. It's a way of charity. It's a way of being long-suffering. It's a way of being patient. Don't go into life with the attitude of, I'll get that person back if it's the last thing I ever do. You lay in bed at night planning and plotting how you're going to get even. Listen, Christian, this is where character comes into play. Just be Christ-like and have some character. Instead of sitting around and planning and plotting how you're going to get even, you need to allow a little character to work in your life. Charity is character, is the character of love. It is the mechanics of how to make love visible. And it will show itself patient. It will show itself with long suffering at every turn. Go back to Matthew chapter 5. I've shown this to you before, but a lot of new folks. So let me show everybody once again what Jesus say about this matter. What Jesus say about this? Look at verse 38. Watch this carefully now. He said, ye have heard. This is the Sermon on the Mount now. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, that's interesting. That's interesting. Now watch. The majority of the world is right-handed. All right? The majority of the world is right-handed. Now, watch carefully. Alan, stand up here just a minute. Oh, stop. Face me now. All right, watch. If I'm going to smite him on his right cheek, now watch, the majority of the world's right-handed, and if I'm going to smite him face-to-face, what cheek am I hitting? Left. You know what Jesus is saying, folks? Don't turn around. You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, hey, when that sorry, no-count, sneaky, conniving guy who is bad-mouthing you behind your back, ragging on you behind your back, when that guy comes up and hits you, now I'm hitting him on the right cheek, see? He's not talking about the guy that comes up here and stands in your face. He's not talking about that guy. He's talking about the guy that is sneaking up from behind you with the intent of doing nothing but hurting you in a surprise. And Jesus said, when that guy, that sneaky, cheating, lying, crooked fellow, that wicked fellow, that evil fellow, when he comes up behind you and smacks you, Jesus said, turn around and say, well, go ahead and hit this one too. Offer him your left as well. You see the difference? And I tell you, folks, we got a world that just sits around and just, you know, and yeah, 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 yeah. And can you believe she said that? And I can't believe she said that. You know what he said about her? Boy, did you hear what so-and-so said about so-and-so? Hey, folks, listen, character. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The Lord said that low down, sneaky, dirty, shameful behavior. He said, there's a better way. You don't have to live your life that way. There's a better way. Oh, yeah. What is that? It's the way of charity. Here is the character of love. When that dirty, rotten, low down snake in the grass sneaks up behind me and blindsides me, I'm not going to fight him back. I'm not going to fight him back. I'm not going to retaliate. I show some character and I turn and offer him the other side of my face. And boy, that takes character to do something like that. You say, well, I'm just not that way. I know, but you could get that way. You just get in this book. You say, but I'm Pastor, you just don't know me. You don't know my background. You don't know where I've come from. No, but I know that this Bible here will change the way you think if you just read your Bible. I grew up down in the mountains. I grew up with the code of the hills. Yes, sir. You hit me, I'm going to take a baseball bat to you. Oh, yeah, that was the way we were raised. I went out of the house one day with a baseball bat over my shoulder. My dad said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to kill Billy Minner. You know what my dad said? Clean it up. You familiar with that, aren't you? Yes, sir. My dad said, clean it up. Billy saw me coming, took off running, locked himself in his house. I sat out on his porch for 2.5 hours. He didn't come out. His mother came out and said, you might as well go on home. He's not coming out. I said, send him out. She said, I'm not going to send him out here to get hit with a baseball bat. She said, you go home. So I sat there for a little while longer, and then finally I went home. Next day, I forgot all about it. But boy, that day, if he'd have come out there, I'd have baseball batted him upside the head. That was the way I was raised. But you know what? I started reading this book. And that changed my perspective on things. And folks, I'm as serious as I can be. I've said this before, but I'm saying it again because I mean it with every fiber of my being. There is not a single soul in this room tonight that could pick a fight with me. Not a one. You could not get me to fight you. I'm just not going to do it. I don't have it in me anymore. Why? Because God took it away. And He can do the same for you. You see, the supreme example of patience and long-suffering is God. That's what's the Bible say? 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish. He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Man, it's the patience and the long-suffering nature of God that keeps God from destroying this world that we live in. And since Adam and Eve, men have continually disobeyed and rejected and scorned God, yet through thousands of years, the eternal God has been long-suffering to usward. And He's not willing that any should perish. Man, I've seen folks saved on their deathbed many, many a times. Right? I mean, just live a brutal life, just an awful life. But then, on their deathbed, God just so worked things out so that I was there to share with them how to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And this patience, this long-suffering character, is definitely a better way to live a life. Folks, listen, you don't have to get even all the time. All right? You just don't have to. But there's something else that goes with this. Look, please. Look at the next phrase. He said in verse 4, charity suffereth long. Now notice what it says. And is kind. Now I want you to notice that these two are connected to each other. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Just as patience will take anything, just as long suffering will take anything from others, kindness will give anything to others. You see how they go together? One will take anything, the other will give anything. Being kind is the counterpart of being patient. What does it mean to be kind? Well, I think it means to be useful. All right? You ever stop along the side of the road and help somebody that had a flat tire? You know, you see some elderly couple out there or some lady out there and it's pouring down the rain. She got a flat tire and you stop and you say, can I help you? Can I change the tire for you? Can I give you some assistance? What are you doing? You're being useful. You're being useful. I think it means to be useful. It means to be serving. It means to be gracious. Being kind is active goodwill. It not only feels generous, but it is generous. It not only desires others' welfare, but it works for the welfare of others. And again, go back to the Sermon on the Mount to see what kindness is. You remember, Jesus commanded His disciples to love their enemies. And He did not simply mean to feel kindly about them, but to be kind to them. And He said, for example, if someone wants to sue you in a court of law for your shirt, He said, give them your coat too. Give them your coat too. Give them your shirt and your coat. He said, if someone wants you to walk a mile with him, go 2 miles with him. And folks, in this evil world, there is an unlimited opportunity for God's people to show the character of love towards people by simply being long-suffering and kind towards them. Man, we live in a brutal world, don't we? We have unlimited opportunities to be kind to others every day of our lives. And this kindness is one of the characteristics of love in action. It's charity. I don't know how many of you know this, but when you call the church number and you want to get a hold of me, that phone, that rings at Fran's desk. It doesn't come to my office. Y'all knew that, didn't you? Okay, I thought you did. Most of you do anyway. All right, now, I do have an extension. I'm not giving it out. But I do have an extension where if you dial that, it rings at my desk. Now, when somebody calls into the church for me and they dial my extension, it comes into Fran's desk, but it rings a different ring than the normal ring. So that when I hear it or she hears it or somebody else hears it, they'll know that that ring is for me. That phone call is for me. Well, today, Fran had to leave to go somewhere. And so I'm sitting there and my phone rings. And so I was in the middle of working on this. And I had my feet propped up on the desk and kind of sitting back in the chair and taking it easy, you know, and just, you know. And I thought, well, that's my ring. So I leaned forward. I put the keyboard down and I ran around the desk, ran into her office real quick, reached down, picked up the phone. Still don't know how to push all the right buttons, but I just started hitting wherever there was a light. And finally, one of them clicked and I said, hello. And it was a fella that has been to Israel with us a couple of times from up in Pennsylvania. And he said, I was afraid that I didn't get there in time. And so I'm hitting buttons going, hello, 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 hello. And finally, the third button I hit. And he goes, Pastor, is that you? And I looked down, I saw his name on the thing. And I said, hey, Jim, how are you? He said, oh, man, I can't believe I got a hold of you. I said, well, you were calling me, weren't you? Yes. I said, well, then what's your problem? So we had a laugh about it. And so he says, I got a couple questions for you. And I said, okay, let me get to my phone. Hold on. So then I had to figure out how to put him on hold and then go in there and get him off a hold. But I got it right. And so we sat there and talked for a little while. He said, Pastor, let me ask you this. He said, okay, now turn over to this. I said, okay. So we sat there for 15, 20 minutes. And I was answering his questions. And he got real quiet on the other end of the phone. And he said, Pastor, he said, I'm not even your church member. And yet you took all this time with me this morning. Wow. And I came back. And you know where I was? I was in the sermon right here. Be ye kind one to another. And I thought, man, Jim is never going to forget that. He is never going to forget that. And he said, you know, the reason I called you, I couldn't get a hold of my pastor. So I called you. And he said, lo and behold, you answer the phone. Your church is 3 times bigger than our church. But you answer the phone. Folks, listen, I don't always answer the phone. I mean, I can't always get to it. But I answered at that time because I could. And you know, that little act of kindness right there is something that is going to stay on that man's mind for the rest of his life. He'll never forget that. One little deed. One little act. What is that? That's kindness. Take your Bible. Go over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Look at this one. I love this verse. 32. Paul said, and be ye, what's it say? Kind. Be ye kind one to another. Say, I wonder what kind means. Well, here's your built-in dictionary. Kind means tender-hearted. Yeah. Synonyms for one another. You want to know what kind means? It means to be tender-hearted. Wonder what kind means. It means to be tender-hearted. It means to be forgiving towards one another. I mean, just forgiving one another. Boy, we have a hard time with that, don't we? What was the first thing out of the Lord's mouth when they nailed him to that cross? Did they ask for forgiveness? They didn't, did they? But he was just being kind. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My friends, that's the character of charity. That's the character. That is the outflowing. That is the mechanism of what is in the heart. That's the mechanics of making love visible. I read a story several weeks ago, and I remembered the story. I thought, man, that's a great story. I got to find a place to put that. And I found it. Story about Abraham Lincoln. And it illustrates the point. You know, Abraham Lincoln was a godly man. He read the Bible. He knew the Bible. And he tried to live by the Bible. He wasn't perfect by any stretch of the means. but he was a godly man. Early in his political career, he had a political enemy. He had a man that literally hated him. This man's name was Edwin Stanton. And he called Mr. Lincoln a low, cunning clown. Now, can you imagine that? Calling Abraham Lincoln a low, cunning clown. He referred to him because of his size and his stature, and he was so skinny and he had some strong features. He called him the original gorilla. That's pretty mean, don't you think? He said one day that it's not necessary to go to Africa to see a gorilla. All you have to do is go down to Springfield, which was the capital of Illinois. And the amazing thing was, Lincoln never responded to the slander that was made by Mr. Stanton. Never. And Stanton was quick to criticize or to say these things with every chance that he got. But never one time did Mr. Lincoln ever respond. And the day came when Abraham Lincoln was elected president of the United States. And when he sat down to put his cabinet together, he needed a Secretary of War. And do you want to know who he chose to be his Secretary of War? Edwin M. Stanton. And Lincoln's friends were amazed that he chose Stanton. And in a meeting where they were giving advice and where he was laying out his choices for his cabinet, they looked at him and said, "But Mr. Lincoln, why Stanton? Why him?" And Lincoln just smiled and said, "Well, he's the best man for the job." And years later, when the president's body lay in state, Edwin M. Stanton came by and stopped at the casket as it rested in the rotunda. And he cried out and said with a loud voice so that everyone could hear, "There lies the greatest ruler of men the world has yet to see." And stood there and wept, pointing at President Lincoln's casket. His animosity was finally broken by Lincoln's long-suffering, non-retaliatory, kind spirit. We're talking about charity. We're talking about characteristics of the heart. Patience, long-suffering, kindness, tenderness, forgiveness, these characteristics of Christ can be emulated in our lives as we are yielded to the Holy Spirit, as we are taught of the Holy Spirit, and as we are in the Word of God growing daily. And Paul's point is, hey, listen, there's a better way to live than all this rage. There's a better way to live than all this vengeance. There's a better way to live than all this anger. There's a better way to live than just trying to get back at others. There's a better way to live than just going through life trying to get even. There's a better way to live. And we should strive to have these character traits in our lives. And so that's why Paul could very clearly say, when he got down to the end of the verse, or down into the chapter, he said, "And now abideth faith and hope and charity, these three." But wait a minute. The greatest of these is charity. For charity suffereth long, and charity is kind. And folks, I don't know about you, but you know, I see an awful lot of folks that could sure use some kindness. Huh? I see an awful lot of folks. And I know you do as well. Well, may God help us to think about that, realize that. You say, "Well, Pastor, I, that's all well and good, and I understand what Paul's saying, and I know, but you know, I'm just not that way." I know. None of us are. But my point is, you can get that way. You see, we have altars up here And the Bible says that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say you're not that way? Come up here and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm not that way, but I'd like to be. And then go home and get your nose in this book. And let the Word of God get in your mind so that you start thinking like the Lord thinks. And you can get that way. You can get that way real quick. My my 7th and 8th grade geography and history, American history teacher, passed away Friday. Alvin Hicks. And Alvin Hicks knew me back when I was not saved, when I was in junior high school. And Alvin Hicks came up to me one day when I was his pastor in Nitro. He came up to me one day, first Sunday I was there, and of course I recognized him immediately. He hadn't changed a bit. He walked up to me and he looked me dead in the eye and he said, I cannot believe it. And I looked him right dead in the eye and I said, God is good. He said, oh my soul, He sure is. And he said, how many times did I make you bend over the back of my desk? I said, I lost count, sir. He said, well, one thing's for sure. The Lord can do some mighty wonderful things, can't He? I said, indeed He can. And for 5 years, I was Alvin Hicks's pastor. Well, he just went on to heaven Friday. What a wonderful man he was. But you know, Alvin Hicks got to see a change. You know what made that change, folks? And that's what changes us still today. You want that charity in your life? Get in this book. Get in this book. And let the character of this book become your character. The charity, the character of love. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for our time together tonight. What a privilege it is to serve the risen Savior. Lord, we thank You for all that You've blessed us with. You've been so good. And Lord, I pray that You will help us to to understand these characteristics. And Lord, to realize that there is a character that we need in our lives. And Lord, the character is just the ability to do what's right. And Lord, I pray that You will help us to have a long-suffering nature. That, Father, we will not get angry and stay angry. We'll not get bitter and stay bitter. That, Lord, we will realize that we serve a great God who is able to forgive, and a God that's going to take care of our situations and our problems. And Lord, just help us to stay strong and to have that character in our lives to do what's right. And Lord, I pray, thanking You for the example You gave us in Your Son, that when He was on that cross, He cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Lord, He didn't call out for You to destroy them. He asked for You to forgive them. Father, help us to have that same character, that same heart, that same mindset as we go through day to day. So, Lord, apply the Word of God to our hearts tonight. Give us some victories here, we pray. Help us to be changed for Jesus. In His name we ask it.